Okay, so we go to chapter 26. Narada uvacha saikda maheshvaso radham panchashvamasukam dusham dvichakram ekaksham त्रिवेणुं पञ्चबन्धुरम् एकरश्मिकदमनम् एकनीडं द्विकूबरम् पञ्चप्रहरणं सप्त वरुतं पञ्चविक्रमम् हेमोपस्करम् आरुह्य स्वर्णवर्माक्षेषुधी एकादश्च मुनाता पञ्चप्रस्थमगाद्वनम्.
The great sage Narada continued, My dear king, once upon a time, King Puranjan took up his great bow and equipped with golden armor and a quiver of unlimited arrows and accompanied by 11 commanders. He sat on his chariot, driven by 5 swift horses, and went to the forest named Panchaprastha. He took with him in that chariot 2 explosive arrows. The chariot itself was situated on 2 wheels and 1 revolving axle. On the chariot were 3 flags, 1 rein, 1 chariot driver, 1 sitting place, 2 poles to which the harness was fixed, 5 weapons and 7 coverings. The chariot moved in 5 different styles and 5 obstacles lay before it. All the decoration of the chariot were made of gold.
Okay, so this chapter describes Puranjan going to the forest to hunt, right? So basically, this means that how Puranjan, he leaves his religious life, right? So if you see in the last chapter, the intelligence, although we said that his wife represents intelligence covered with ignorance, but still Puranjan was living he had accepted the wife in a religious way. So it was not unrestricted or irreligious enjoyment, right? So now Puranjan gives up his dharmic life and goes to the forest to hunt, which signifies his enjoying forbidden sense objects. Right? Last chapter describes Pravritti Marg. Right? So there is Pravritti Marg, and Prabhupada many times he even criticize Pravritti Marg because it's where the regulated sense enjoyment, right? Compared to the engagement of the living entity in devotional service, even the life of regulated sense enjoyment is condemned, right? So last chapter was describing the path of sense enjoyment followed by Puranjan. But it was regulated by the Vedas, right? But here now Puranjan enters into demonic life, which is unrestricted sense enjoyment, unregulated sense enjoyment. So his going to the forest indicate his enjoying unregulated sense gratification. Okay, so keep that in mind. So now this body has been described, the chariot, and quite allegorical description, you know, in very detail is given, right? So they describe that he had one bow, which indicates his absorption in the mood of an enjoyer. Then the chariot was driven by five horses, right, which is five knowledge senses. Then there were, Prabhupada says, two explosives, you know, which is ahankar and mamata, right, ego and possessiveness. This chariot had two wheels, sinful and religious life, sinful acts and pious acts. Those are the two wheels of the chariot. It had one axle, which is pradhan, you know. And there are three flags of the chariot, represent three gunas. It had five supports, right, which is the five life here. It has one rein, the mind, and one driver, which is the intelligence. There is one seat, the heart. Right? There are two shafts to yoke for binding the yoke, you know. That is lamentation and illusion. The five weapons, the activity of the five knowledge senses. There were seven protective coverings, which is the seven dhatus in the body. Right? The seven layers as we describe. Then there were, he said that the chariot moved in five styles. What is that you see? Prabhupada says toward the end that the chariot moved in five different styles. That means in the chariot wants to, this body sometimes wants to enjoy one sense, sometimes another sense, sometimes the third sense, you know. So different styles of, you know, enjoyment. And he had an inexhaustible quiver, means infinite desires. Right? And again, the 11 commanders are referred to the mind and the 10 senses. Right? He went to a place known as Panchaprastha, which means article containing five sense objects. Right? This whole world to enjoy the various sense objects. Panchaprast, like that. So, especially he had put up the golden armor, is mentioned over here, right? So the golden armor is referred to especially Rajoguna. Right? The Rajoguna is very, as we described, very favorite of people, you know, those who desire to enjoy. So in this way, it's quite a detailed analogy of this, just this body, you know. All these bodies like Ratha, and so many parallels between the body and a person driving the chariot, right? In order to go for hunting in the forest. Okay, so if you see the paragraph number third, in these three verses, so Prabhupada is just summarizing, in these three verses, King Puranjan going to the forest to kill animals is symbolic of the living entity being driven by the mode of ignorance and thus engaging in different activities for sense gratification. Right? So here it is a different form. Previous chapter, engaging in sense gratification, in the sense noise, he is going to enjoy, as we said, sense gratification against the scriptural rules. Right? Okay. So we go to text 4.
चचार मृगयां तत्र नृप्त आटेषु कार्मुकः विहाया जायाम तदर्हम् मृगव्यसनलालसा
It was almost impossible for King Puranjan to give up the company of his queen, even for a moment. Nonetheless, one day, being very much inspired by the desire to hunt, he took off his bow and arrow with great pride and went to the forest, not caring for his wife.
Okay, so here he went for hunting, it's mentioned, right? And it's described that here hunting, Prabhupada says, one form of hunting is known as woman hunting. Right? And Vishwanath Thakur also says that hunting herein refers to the sin of going out to find another woman. Right? And his arrows are attachment and repulsion, and his bow is his absorption in enjoyment. Right? Especially mentioned that how he held bow and arrow in his hand. The bow and arrow in his hand. Bow and arrow represents attachment and repulsion. The two arrows actually. The two arrows are attachment and repulsion, and bow is the absorption in enjoyment. Okay, so then Prabhupada says in the third line of the purport, King Puranjan abandoning the company of his religiously married wife. Is representative of the conditioned soul attempt to hunt for many women for sense gratification. Or it refers to any other form of sense enjoyment like meat eating, gambling, and so on and so forth. Right? Text 5. आसुरिम वृत्तिम आश्रित्या घोरात्मान निरनुग्रहात् नेहनन निशितैर्बाणैर् मुनेषु वनगोचरान्.
At that time, King Purajana was very much influenced by demonic propensities. Because of this, his heart became very hard and merciless, and with sharp arrows he killed many innocent animals in the forest, taking no consideration.
Okay, so asurim vritti mashitya. Right? So Prabhupada says in Kali Yuga, due to the increase of mode of passion and ignorance, almost all men are asuric. Asurim vritti mashritya. This describes the all men of Kali Yuga. Ghoratma nir anugraha. Anugraha or nir anugraha, the same words. Ugra means mercy and nir anugraha means without mercy. So Prabhupada then says in the third line of the purport, when people are demonic in spirit, they are not merciful towards the poor animals. Consequently, they maintain various animal slaughterhouses. Niranugraha. And then Prabhupada just summarizes by saying in the fifth or sixth from last line and from the end, in Krishna consciousness, in the Krishna consciousness movement, animal killing is completely prohibited. One is not accepted as a bona fide student in this movement unless he promises to follow the four regulative principles. No animal killing, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling. Right? So one is not accepted as a bona fide student. Right? Then that means probably ruling out over here in that one person who doesn't follow these principles, even though he may be in the movement, but he is not actually a bona fide student of the movement. Okay. Tirtheshu pratidishteshu Raja medhyan pashun vane Yavadartham alam lubdo
hanyaditi niyamyate.
If a king is too attracted to eating flesh, he may, according to the directions of the revealed scriptures on sacrificial performance, go to the forest and kill some animals that are recommended for killing. One is not allowed to kill animals unnecessarily or without restriction. The Vedas regulate animal killing to stop the extravagance of foolish men influenced by the modes of passion and ignorance.
Okay, so now someone may say that, while telling story, Narad Muni in between gives a siddhanta also to the king. So he said, someone may say, that why jiva, whose spiritual nature is Sachid Anand, the jiva by its spiritual nature wants to enjoy unlimitedly. Is it not Sachid Anand, its spiritual nature? Then why should the jiva not enjoy all the sense objects unlimitedly? But that is a very spiritual nature, the desire is coming from the original spiritual nature of the jiva. There are so many people who propose these theories, because the jiva is very clever, it looks from some shastric reference to enjoy, some excuse to enjoy. So this could be a very powerful point. Look, the spiritual nature of jiva is to be blissful, enjoy. Therefore, just enjoy. He said, yes. It's based upon scriptures. What is wrong in that? And then millions of people are thus convinced of this, of such theories. Right? And then the argument given here is that, and the king is allowed to hunt animals in the forest, hunt and kill animals in the forest. Right? If the king is allowed to hunt and kill animals in the forest, why can't then the jiva enjoy flesh and other things, Similarly, the king, animal killing is anyway allowed, and jiva by nature wants to enjoy various things, So then why there is restriction on jiva to not kill other animals and enjoy, right? So there could be many such things. So therefore he's saying, just see, if you say scriptures give, allow the person to kill animals, but the scriptures give 6 restrictions, even if the person is inclined to enjoy, the scriptures for animal killing give 6 restrictions in this case. Right? So Narad Muni points out that there are restrictions in the scriptures. Right? So first is that he can only kill the animal for sacrifice. Second, only for on a special occasion, not that he said our daily will for home sacrifice, daily some Shraddha rite. Sacrifice refers to some Shraddha rite also. On special occasion, it's not a daily. So for a particular sacrifice, that too, that is to be not to perform daily, second restriction. Third, only the king can do this. Right? King alone, king can't order, go and kill the animal and bring for sacrifice. A person who desires, he has to go and kill. Third restriction. Then it says only suitable animals can be killed, not any animals. So Prabhupada would say the cow can never be killed. So animal suitable for sacrifice, then it should be done in the forest. A person should go and kill in the forest. 5th restriction. And then only when required, it should be done. And not otherwise. Not for just any purpose. So, Narad Muni says, yes, jiva is allowed sense gratification by the scriptures, but in a restricted way, as much as necessary, not to the full extent, not unlimitedly. So that is the point being made. So Prabhupada says, at the present moment, this argument, as we discussed in the beginning, that why the jiva not allowed unlimited sense gratification, for it, this desire is coming from its own spiritual nature. So Prabhupada saying, at the present moment, this argument is put forwarded even by so-called swamis and yogis, not just ordinary people. This is the fourth line of the purport. This argument is put forwarded even by so-called swamis and yogis who publicly say that because we have senses, we must satisfy them by sense gratification. These foolish swamis and yogis, however, do not know the injunction of the shastras. So they quote the shastras and support that. You understand the point? They said, just see the scripture described, Satchidanand nature. He said, wait, you accept the shastras? Then accept the restriction of the shastras also. They want to accept one side of the shastra. You know, based on some selective things, they want to propagate. Said, just see, but the shastras, they have so many restrictions. Because the scriptures know that if the living entity indulge in unlimited sense gratification, it will degrade itself unlimitedly. There will be unlimited degradation. So Prabhupada says again in the second paragraph, he says, everyone is inclined in this age to eat meat and fish, drink liquor and indulge in sex life. According to the Vedic injunction, sex is allowed only in marriage, meat eating is allowed only when the animal is killed and offered before God as Kali, and intoxication is allowed only in a restricted way. In this verse, the word niyamate, niyamayate, the last word of the scriptures, indicate all these things. Right, should be regulated. That means the Narad Muni is saying that all this sense enjoyment of the jiva must be regulated. And again, Prabhupada raised the points actually that even when the scriptures allow polygamy, that you can marry another wife, second wife, third wife, it is again regulating his sense enjoyment, because otherwise Prabhupada says that people in this world, they are hypocrites. They abolish polygamy but indulge in illicit sex. But then the polygamy, that if you want to enjoy more than one woman, you take responsibility, take full charge, get married. You know, so it restricts illicit sex, Prabhupada says, polygamy. But people are hypocrites. They abolish polygamy and embrace illicit sex life. Right? Like that. So, and this is a typical of demonic society, this kind of rules and regulations, etc. Okay, Guru text 7. यायेवं कर्मनियतम् विद्वान् कुरुवीतमानवा कर्मणातेन राजेन्द्र ज्ञानेन न सलिप्यते.
Narad Muni continued to speak to King Prachin Parishad. My dear king, any person who works according to the directions of Vedic scriptures does not become involved in fruitive activities.
Right, that he is not contaminated by the fruitive activity. The person who performs these activities in a regulated way, Narada Muni says, he is not contaminated by the fruitive activity, or is not solidly bound by the fruitive activities. You know, otherwise they are very binding. And Prabhupada gives another analogy to explain, right? Saying that, second paragraph, Prabhupada says, everyone is therefore advised to act in terms of the Vedic injunctions and not irresponsibly. When a person within a state acts according to the laws and license of the government, he does not become involved in criminal activities.
You know, so the law and the license, you know, so the government gives the license to operate a liquor shop, you know. Otherwise, it will be, anyway, there's a giving example of a Kali Yuga government, you know. But anyway, the government gives a license that you can extract gold ore, right? If anyone, otherwise even extract mitti, you know, even the plain soil, he is considered a criminal. But if the government even gives the license that you can even extract gold ore, the person is not considered criminal. Right? It is just an example to show how there is a license from the government. You know, in Vrindavan we had to make chulas, so there is a ban on taking mitti from anywhere. So that fellow said, I said, we need the mitti in the morning. He said, I'll give in the midnight only. Because I can't bring, you know, there is a government, doesn't give license to transport mitti from one place to another, so on and so forth. Right? So even with mitti means mud, plain mud. There is a restriction, you know, even when we need a lot of mud in GV and there were mud coming, then there was a restriction put, etc. You know, you just can't take mud from one place and take it to another place. There is a regulation by the government. Even that, I'm giving them plain mud, if you don't have the license, the government holds you responsible, holds you criminal. But if the government allows, you can even extract the gold ore, you know, which is the gold mix, the golden mud, you know, whatever. You're not considered criminal. It is a question of, you know, authorization. This is Prabhupada just saying similarly. Therefore, a person who becomes who follows the regulation of the scriptures, he is not prosecuted, he is not considered criminal. Okay, so we go to next verse. Anyatha karma kurvano mana rudo nibadhyate guna pravaha patito nashto pragyo vrajatyadha.
Otherwise, a person who acts whimsically falls down due to the false prestige. Thus he becomes involved in the laws of nature, which are composed of three qualities: goodness, passion and ignorance. In this way, a living entity becomes devoid of his real intelligence and becomes perpetually lost in the cycle of birth and death. Thus he goes up and down from microbe in a stool to highest position in the Brahmalok planet.
Okay, so anyatha. Anyatha means otherwise. Otherwise means if you do not follow what is Narad Muni described in the previous verses, the regulations of the scriptures, right? Otherwise indicates, Prabhupada says, the first is anyatha, otherwise, which indicates one does not care for the Vedic rules and regulations, right? That is Shastra Vidhi, one who doesn't care for Shastra Vidhi, right? In Prabhupada's course, this Bhagavad Gita verse, together we can recite. Yo shastra vidim utsrijya vartate kama karata nasa siddhim avapnoti na sukham na param. Right? So, the point is, a person who doesn't follow, he actually, out of man rudo, he becomes very proud of his own theories, of his own strength, you know. And then nashta pragyo said, this foolish person who has lost his intelligence, nashta pragyo, he doesn't attain any happiness, you know. That's the point actually, you know. The conditioned soul proposes that, oh, what, just live free, enjoy, and this, so many things, you know. Said, your intelligence has been spoiled. You will not attain any happiness. Simply, nasa siddhim avapnoti na sukham na para. Nothing will be obtained. By unrestricted sense enjoyment, only misery will be obtained. Right? Therefore, nashta pragyo. said the conditioned soul can't see, you know, their own that foolish theory of that just enjoy to the limited extent doesn't give any enjoyment. Rather, it gives only misery. Therefore, Narad Muni is pointing out that one should, the scriptures do allow enjoyment, you know, in a restricted way. So follow the restrictions, then you will not degrade, you know. So therefore, actually, if you see, these restrictions given in the scriptures are given out of actually mercy for the conditioned soul. You know, because the conditioned soul wants to enjoy. You know, so therefore, conditioned soul is allowed certain enjoyment by the scriptures, right? That means there is a lot of concession given by the scriptures itself. You know? So this is out of compassion for the conditioned soul, right? In order the conditioned soul can fulfill his desire. So there is already a lot of concession given in the scriptures. That's the point. Right? Okay, Prabhupada here quotes in this purport verses from CC. I'll just recite. Krishna bhuli sai jeeva nadir bahir mukh at eva maya tare dahi samsara dukh. Right? So the basic principle is Krishna bhuli. The living entity has become bahir mukh. Right? Bahir mukh means he has turned his face towards Lord's Bahiranga Shakti, that is Bahirmukh, toward Lord external energy, right? And Antarmukh or whatever refers to, or you know, Unmukh, Vimukh, Vimukh also refers to same as Bahirmukh. And Unmukh, one who turns his face towards Krishna's internal energy, you know, and agrees to serve the Lord, like that. So then, the next verse is Maya Mukda Jivera Nahi Swata Krishna Gyan Jivere Kripae Kaila Krishna Ved Puran. Right? So therefore, actually the living entity has completely forgotten being bewildered by Maya and it can't revive its original Krishna consciousness. Right? So therefore, in order to show mercy upon the Jiva, Krishna has given Ved Puran. Because the living entity cannot give up sense enjoyment completely, all of a sudden. Therefore, the scriptures do allow sense gratification. You know? See, look, it's like this. Sense gratification is a criminal activity. You know? But a criminal can't, you know, do anything otherwise, you know? Therefore, the government only allows certain amount of criminal activity, you know. Okay, you can, government only just give the license for people to drink, etc. You know, but they put a restriction, you know, can't drink here, can't drink there, no drinking allowed here, etc., etc., you know. So there are many restrictions in a restricted way. So basically, sense gratification is actually a criminal activity. But the scriptures know that, you know, the living entity can't stop this immediately. So the scriptures, the Krishna out of his mercy legalize sense gratification to some extent. So that, because otherwise so that Jiva, for the purpose it has come, it tries to fulfill that, but simultaneously the Jiva tries to actually understand his relationship with Krishna, you know, like that. So therefore, in the scriptures, allowing sense gratification is actually out of great leniency, right? So the restriction in the scripture should not be seen actually as binding in that sense, but it's very out of great leniency, you know, the scriptures have allowed sense gratification in a regulated way. Right? So whenever there is a regulation, important thing is, whenever if something is restricted or regulated, that means it's not very good. Otherwise, why there should be regulation? You know, the scriptures are Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya, Pibat Bhagatam Rasalyam, go on drinking the nectar of Bhagavatam. No one says, wait, you know, Bhagatam should be only 2 hours a day, you know. Something that is good, why should be regulated, first of all, you know. Only once a month or at every only on Sundays, you know, in the evenings, then Bhagatam should be studied, not other time of the week. No, something which is good is not restricted. So even intelligent person should understand that there are so many restrictions implies is not a good activity. Right? The restriction itself proves that. Something which is very good, there is not restricted. That is encouraged that one continue to do that activity as much as possible. Like that. Okay, so then again Prabhupada comments on the verse Nashta Pragya. Nashta Pragya is a very important word. Prabhupada will refer to this word again and again. That means one's intelligence, one's bereft of one's intelligence, or whose intelligence has been shattered by the desire for sense gratification. You know, Nashta Pragya. We discussed yesterday a nice phrase by Prabhupada. One whose eyes of knowledge has been shattered by the glance of women, you know, glance of women or by the desire to enjoy. Right? So the eyes of knowledge is shattered by the glance of Maya, the desire to enjoy. That is Nashta Pragya. Right? So then Prabhupada says the Nashta Pragya, Pragya means perfect knowledge. This is, if you see, the paragraph starts with Nashta Pragya. This is the last paragraph. Paragraph starts with the word Nashta Pragya. The Pragya means perfect knowledge and Nashta Pragya means one who has no perfect knowledge. One who does not have perfect knowledge has only mental speculation. By mental speculation, one falls down and down into a hellish condition of life. Right? So one who does not have the scripture knowledge is simply deriving all the knowledge from his own mind, you know. It's all mental speculation. So there are unlimited theories, you know, all hovering on the platform of the mind. Right? And what is the result of that? Simply it leads one to a hellish condition of life. Okay, we go to text 9. Tatra nirbhinna gatra naam Chitra vajay shili mukhe Viplavo bodh dukkita naam Dusaha karunatma naam.
When King Puranjan went hunting in this way, many animals within the forest lost their lives with great pain, being pierced by the sharp arrowheads. Upon seeing these devastating, ghastly activities performed by the king, all the people who were merciful by nature became very unhappy. Such merciful persons could not tolerate seeing all this killing.
Okay, so Narad Muni is hinting to Prachini Barishad, right, that committing sins such as violence, like killing of the animals, etc., is intolerable for persons like us with compassion. Right? Narad Muni is hinting that it's very intolerable for the saintly persons. Dussaha karunatma naam. Dussaha karunatma naam. You know, at the time of when at the time of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, before he appeared, there were devotees like Advaita Acharya, Shivas Thakur, right, Acharya Ratna, and all of these devotees, when they saw that no one is engaged in Krishna consciousness, right, everyone is simply engaged in hunting animals, you know, so-called whatever, hunting pleasures, various pleasures, you know, in the forest of sense enjoyment. Dusaha Karunatma, they could not tolerate. That was very unbearable for them, seeing that. And it's mentioned that the devotee lost their appetites. It's mentioned there that the devotees, it was so intolerable to see them, people engaged in such sense gratificatory activities, that the devotees, they lost their appetite, dusaha karunatma nam, due to their being very merciful, you know. So I was just, once natural calamities occur every once a while, you know, so many tsunamis, this and that, you know. I said, some of the devotees, what is the breakfast today? Yeah, today is bhil puri, the appetite double up. You know. I said, somehow we are very far away from having that, having that genuine mood of compassion to see. Dussaha karunatma nam, those who are saintly person like Narad Muni, for them it is intolerable to see conditioned soul suffering. You know, intolerable. To the extent that the devotees do not feel like even eating, you know, when they think of such a loss their appetite is mentioned. Right? So just explained, Dussaha Karunatma Nam. So Narad Muni is that compassionate person. And I was just reading, you know, Yamuna Mataji's book, and she described that in London, Prabhupada was, there was a nice program happening in London, devotees had organized, and so many Britishers had come, you know. And Prabhupada asked Yamuna Mataji to lead the kirtan, you know. So Yamuna Mataji was leading the kirtan, and she said, something happened which I just never witnessed. It was never had happened before, neither did it happen afterwards. You know, she was with Prabhupada for a long time, long association. So suddenly, while I was leading kirtan, Prabhupada took up his kartal and started singing in a loud voice, Narada Muni Bajaye Veena, like that. You know, Prabhupada started singing, and there was like whole assembly filled with so many people. While Hare Krishna Mahamantra was quite, had become famous, you know, people could relate to it, was being sung. But Prabhupada, in the middle of it, without even telling Yamuna Mataji stop, started singing very loudly in his kartal, Narada Muni Bajaye Veena. So after the program, Yamuna Mataji asked Prabhupada, what happened? Suddenly you started singing, you know, this had never happened before. Prabhupada said, oh, Narada Muni was visiting us, you know, because that program marked the fulfillment of desire of Bhakti Dhansaraji Thakur, who very much desired that there would be a preaching in London. So that was the first big program. So Narada Muni, Prabhupada, so then she described, actually Prabhupada saw Narada Muni. Prabhupada was not, sometimes we may think, you know, oh, when there is Sankirtan, demigods come. So Prabhupada could have said, you know, you didn't see Narada Muni had come. So no, actually Prabhupada had a Sakshat Darshan of Narada Muni. Right? Is the name of the Oxford Town Hall or something. You know, there is a hall in that big program was happening. Right? So then Prabhupada said, oh, Narada Muni came. So, you know, in order to respect him and, you know, glorify him, I started suddenly singing. And he said, I never witnessed that ecstasy also in Prabhupada with that he sang, you know, Narada Muni Bajaye Veena. Right? So, this is Dussaha Karunatma Nam. Right? And there is nothing more pleasing to devotees when he sees that how people are taking up to Krishna consciousness, right? So Narada Muni, being greatly pleased with the preaching happening he came and he showed himself to Prabhupada in that hall. Like that. It was a very beautiful pastime. If you read, all the details are mentioned, you know. It was a very extraordinary happening that took place. Guru text 10. Shashan Varahan Mahishan Gavayan Duru Shallekan Nidhyananyamscha Vividhan Vinignan Shama Madhyagat.
In this way, King Puranjana killed many animals, including rabbits, boars, buffalo, bison, black deer, porcupines, and other game animals. After killing and killing, the king became very tired.
Okay, so he became tired, right? So tired means now he became tired of his sinful activities. That means he realized, oh, there is some kind of a little repentance that he had now. So again, very nicely, Vishwanatha Thakur says, he became tired. The jiva with some tendencies of dharma, by good fortune, may repent after committing sins for a long time. You know, because he had this previous tendency of dharma, he was living a religious householder life previously. Now he indulged in unrestricted sense gratification, but then repentance came at a certain point of time. You know, so therefore, so alpam api, api, what is the verse? So alpam. Trayate mahato bhyat, right? Svalpam apiyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhyat. So therefore, it's an important thing that if a person has practiced dharma, you know, we are not even talking of Krishna consciousness, the highest dharma. It the same applies to Krishna consciousness also, that even if he falls down, he comes back, you know. One day he realizes that, oh, he has actually wasted so much of time in futile sense enjoyment. You know? So therefore, you know, if anyone is doing something wrong or something, you know, sometimes a child behaves in a naughty way and it doesn't listen. But if a person keeps giving him good instruction, you know, someday he will remember that. You know, so it's never like, you know, that it goes in vain. Never like it goes in vain. So there are children, you know, in the childhood, the parents make them chant Narsingarthi, chant Hare Krishna, say Hari Bol, you know, so many things, you know. But the child in his youth, he just leaves Krishna consciousness completely. But because he has been made to practice that, you know, one day he will repent all of it and he comes back, you know. Therefore, these samskaras, you know, they are never destroyed actually, that is being mentioned over here. So the king, he finally comes to the senses. And Prabhupada says, extension of this verse in the end of the second paragraph, however sinful a man may be, if he receives knowledge from the proper spiritual master and repents his past activities in his sinful life and stops them, right? He became tired means he stopped the killing. That means stopping further sinful activities. Then he immediately becomes eligible to return back home, back to Godhead. And then again, Prabhupada relates the present scenario to this verse, you know. That's Prabhupada's genius. He says, at the present, next paragraph, at present, the whole world is on the verge of retiring from blind material civilization. You know, he relates the hippie movement, you know, they are giving up. So they are also not tired of many things, you know, all the sense gratificatory, the traditional sense gratification process. Now they want to do sense gratification another way. They want to retire. But then Prabhupada is giving them the another alternative. Right? But Prabhupada relates that how the whole world is on the verge of retiring. He refers to the hippie movement basically. Right? You go to text 11. Tata shutrit parishranto nivritto griham eivan kritasnano chitahara samvivesh gataklama.
After this, the king, very much fatigued, hungry and thirsty, returned to his royal palace. After returning, he took a bath and had an appropriate dinner. Then he took rest and thus became freed from all restlessness.
Okay, so so he became very much fatigued and hungry and thirsty. So became exhausted from hunger and thirst herein means that he was troubled on remembering his sinful act. Right? When he remembered all the sinful act he performed, it actually troubled him and exhausted him. Right? But then it's mentioned then taking bath, when he came and took bath. Right? Taking bath here refers to performing various purificatory activities, you know, yajna, dan, tapa, etc. You know, and so in the context of this, you know, when we are discussing dharma and adharma, religious religion, but then Prabhupada gives many lessons. He goes one step out of the present, you know, just, he doesn't restrict himself to the present context of the words. So Prabhupada brings it to Krishna consciousness, you know. Taking bath refers to a person taking to Krishna consciousness. But actually, strictly in the context of the word, it refers to various purificatory activities. When he performs, then he becomes refreshed. Right? Then he becomes refreshed. But here, Prabhupada, in the context of Krishna consciousness, he says, retiring from sinful activities and accepting a bona fide spiritual master and hearing from him the values of life. So that is going one step further. And uchita ahara, you know, uchit ahara refers to not now eating forbidden foods, appropriate food. That means in the mode of goodness. So then he accepted foodstuffs in the mode of goodness. You know? Here in the context of the verse. But if you extend it, it becomes, in the context of Krishna consciousness, it becomes prasad. Right? So therefore Prabhupada says that how a restless and fatigued person cannot understand the signs of God. Therefore he must purify himself, you know, he must become refreshed. And he must take proper diet, you know, prasad, and then he starts understanding, you know. So then Prabhupada is the same thing, you know, that all the hippies, they were tired and fatigued from, right? Then Prabhupada refreshed them with chanting of the Mahamantra, you know, that cleansed them, just like taking a refreshing bath. And then Prabhupada himself cooked prasad for them. Then uchita ahara. You know, so these two things made them fit to understand actually scriptural knowledge and higher principles. Right? So therefore, you know, Prabhupada, out of compassion, he only bathed them. He only gave the hippie the refreshing bath. He He only cooked and fed them, you know, and did all these things so that they can understand the science of God. Right? This is for if one is restless or fatigued, one cannot understand the science of God. This is 7th or 8th last line, just above the verse, Evam Prasanna Manaso. Guru text 12, Atmanam Harayam Chakre Dhupalep Sragadibi Sadhu Alankrita Sarvango
After this, King Purunjan decorated his body with suitable ornaments. He also smeared scented sandalwood pulp over his body and put on flower garlands. In this way, he became completely refreshed. After this, he began to search out his queen.
Okay, so now he came, he is taken bath, he is refreshed. Now he began searching after his queen. Right? So, technically, it refers to that he remembered his intelligence fixed in dharma. He again wants to act as per his intelligence, which was fixed in dharma. So that's the technical meaning. He began searching his queen over here. Right? So, but Prabhupada gives the in the context of Krishna consciousness. Right? Prabhupada takes it in another context, right? Which is a valid point. You know. Which is a valid point. You know, so many times, you know, this is an important thing. If you see, even when Krishna himself talks in terms of, you know, karma and yoga, you know, Krishna himself, Prabhupada many times takes that in the context of Krishna consciousness. You know, so technically speaking, you know, some technical people may object to it, you know, but Prabhupada has his goal in his mind. You know, he has to spread Krishna consciousness movement. He has a very short span of time, right? So therefore, you know, everywhere he has taken the context of Krishna consciousness, you know, because he doesn't have much time, so he wants to spread, which is the ultimate, you know. A person has to, after studying all of this, he finally comes to the conclusion, you know. Just like Prabhupada gave the 10th canto, the Samam Bhoman, in the beginning itself. You know, he gave the beginning itself, knowing that people should not miss the ultimate conclusion, you know. I do the so many details, but people miss the ultimate conclusion, then they are lost. Right? So Prabhupada, in a mood of urgency to spread Krishna consciousness, and knowing it is the ultimate goal, at most of the places, you know, he has, even when Krishna doesn't mean Krishna consciousness over there, Prabhupada means it. You know, Krishna is talking of pure, you know, some dhyana yoga, this and that, you know. Krishna at the time is talking of that. But Prabhupada takes everything in the context of Krishna consciousness. You know, because he wants to give that in a very urgent way. He wants to give that in a very urgent way to the people. Right? So therefore, technically speaking, those who you know study everything technically, they may object, you know, to Prabhupada's talking of everything, you know. You talk of Krishna consciousness, but even Krishna is not talking, you know, whatever, you know. There is no Krishna consciousness in this verse, technically speaking, right? But Prabhupada said, actually that is the expertise of a devotee, to bring in Krishna where Krishna is not. You know, that is the geniusness. So it should be seen in a positive way. That is the devotee, you know. He will introduce Krishna where there is otherwise Krishna is not to be found. Therefore, Prabhupada kept introducing Krishna consciousness everywhere. Because if you see also, that was a need also, That was a need at that particular point of time. Prabhupada wants to spread Krishna consciousness like wildfire, So one canto will be published, that would be distributed. So therefore Prabhupada wanted that even if a person, Prabhupada planned to publish 60 such books, small books. Now one book was coming and being distributed. So if the whole thing lost in the technicality, so Prabhupada wanted to give Krishna consciousness everywhere. So therefore Prabhupada would say, even if a person reads one line or one purport, one chapter, of any book, he should get the sense. he should get what is Krishna consciousness, he'll understand it. Right? So therefore we have to see that what was Prabhupada's mood in writing this. So therefore Prabhupada keeps bringing Krishna consciousness. So one should not, if one becomes very focused on, the technical part, strictly speaking, what to what meaning this and everything, then Krishna is not there in certain places, but Prabhupada still introduces it, out of his great compassion. Right? So therefore, if you want to study, you study the flow of the technicality separately and Prabhupada's purport parallel to it. That Prabhupada is giving in the context of Krishna consciousness. Right? But there is a technical flow in the whole chapter, right? But Prabhupada, wherever there is opportunity, gives a Krishna consciousness purport. So don't try to mix the two and try to study, so that Prabhupada's purports are his own genius, his own parallel contribution to the otherwise technical flow of the Bhagavatam. you got the point? So like that. Because one is the intent of the verse. No, one is the content of the verse, Okay, here is the content of the verse. So you can translate the content of the verse. But then ultimately, what is the intent of the verse? So Prabhupada is not going technically just giving the content of the chapter or any verse. He is giving the final intent of the whole thing. Final intent is Krishna consciousness. So therefore you don't study Prabhupada purport just in the content of the verse. How does this relate, Where is this Krishna consciousness? Which word in Sanskrit talks of Krishna consciousness? Or, So no, Prabhupada is not simply translating this content. He is translating the ultimate intent. Like that. Okay, so now Puranjan decorates himself with all these things, right? So the intelligence which is fixed in religiosity, in dharma, becomes very attractive. That is the meaning. But in the context of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada says that how when a person becomes, he hears from his spiritual master, hears the stories about great devotees and their narrations, then he becomes very refreshed. Exactly like a person who smears scented sandalwood all over his body and decorate himself with ornaments. Okay, so just again in the middle of the purport, in the little ahead of the middle part, just as King Puranjan began to search out his better half, the queen, one who is decorated with knowledge and instructions from saintly person should try to search out his original consciousness, Krishna consciousness. So here he is searching queen means actually his dharmic, his religious intelligence, but in the context of Krishna consciousness, one should try to search for one's original pure consciousness, right? Which is being a servant of the Lord, right? Like that. तृप्तो हृष्टा सुदृप्तश्च कन्दर्पाकृष्टमानसः न विचष्ट वरारोहाम् घृणिं गृहमेदिनीम्.
After taking his dinner and having his thirst and hunger satisfied, King Puranjan felt some joy within his heart. Instead of being elevated to a higher consciousness, he became captivated by Cupid and was moved by a desire to find his wife, who kept him satisfied in his household life.
Okay, so again, look now. He said now he's, you know, refreshed. He has performed purificatory rites. He has repented his sinful activities. Now he is looking for his religious intelligence. He wants to follow. But again he becomes attracted by the Cupid. You know. So this describes the fall down of a neophyte devotee. And Prabhupada says, so Vishwanath Thakur says, now, after being purified, he desired his original intelligence, dharmic intelligence, right? But it does not appear immediately, you know. No, the samskaras of sin, they do not immediately vanquish. They trouble a person and they make him slip from the path again and again. So this is like his first slip, you know. He's coming to intelligence, he's repenting also, but again he slipped. Right? So so actually a sadhaka, he on the path of devotional service, he slips again and again so many times. Right? Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami describes in one place, what is the verse, how it starts with Skhalat Pad Gatir Muhu, that I am blind, right? And Durgam Pathi Me Anthasya Skhalat Pad Gatir Muhu, right? So very beautiful verse. He said the Durgame Pathi Me Anthasya, he said my path is very difficult, you know. So therefore, actually the path of Krishna consciousness for a conditioned soul is a difficult path. See, Krishna consciousness is easy, but its practice is not. You know, especially in this age. So therefore, it says, Durgame Pathi, my path is difficult, you know. And it says, I am blind, that I do not have very clear intelligence. You know? Intelligence influenced by ignorance. Right? So therefore, it says, Durgame Pathi, me anthasya, I am blind. Skhalat pad gatir muhu, my feet are slipping again and again. As I'm trying to walk towards Krishna, towards attaining devotional service, right? My feet are slipping again and again. He says, right? So like here, the king slips down here, you know. That is his first fall down kind of. Right? So therefore, what does he say? So kripa yashti danena. Oh great souls, please give me the stick of your mercy as a support so that I can continue to walk. You know, so very beautiful. You know. So person may slip again and again, but you should know that then the mercy of the devotees will act as a stick by which he will continue to traverse the difficult path. You know. So therefore, under no circumstances a person should leave the association of devotees. Somehow he should stick. Yeah? He should stick to the association of devotees, for that is our stick. So therefore, you know, may the great saints, he says, grant me the mercy of their, may the great saintly persons grant me the stick of their mercy as my support, you know, stick of their mercy. So we have to stick to the stick. That is the and Prabhupada describes another the similar thing, right? Prabhupada says a person comes to Krishna consciousness, he gives up meat eating and all that, and he starts eating uchit ahar, you know, vegetables, grains. But sometime, this is like 8th or 9th line of the purport, but sometime it is found that an initiated person in the name of prasad eat very luxurious foodstuffs. Due to his past sinful life, he becomes attracted by Cupid and eat good voracious food. Right? So therefore then Prabhupada says, it is clearly visible then that when a neophyte in Krishna consciousness eats too much, he falls down. You know, one example Prabhupada gives. Right? He left and eating properly, uchit ahara, but the quantity is not uchit, he eats too much. You know? And then again, he becomes agitated, etc. You know, like that. So many such and then Prabhupada specially describes six things which a sadhaka has to take care so that it doesn't slip again and again. This is from Deshamrit. Atyahar prayasascha prajalpo niyamagraha janasangascha lalyamcha shadbhir bhakti vinashyati. Like that. Antaha purashtriyo prichad vimana iva vedishat api vaha kushalam rama sheshvarinam yathapura.
At that time, King Puranjan was a little anxious and he inquired from the household woman, "My dear beautiful woman, are you and your mistress all very happy like before or not?"
Okay, so in this verse the word Vedishat indicate King Prachin Barhi. When a man becomes refreshed by association with devotees and awakens to Krishna consciousness, he consults the activities of his mind, namely thinking, feeling and willing, and decide whether he should return to material activities or stay steady in spiritual consciousness. Right? That is in the context of Krishna consciousness. Basically, he just is searching for his religious intelligence. Right? And he's just seeing that is his religious intelligence well or not. That is the meaning in the context of this verse. And indirectly, Narada Muni indirectly tells King Prachini Pirishad, "O King, are you well? You know, who is accompanying your queen? Are you doing well?" Like that. Text 15. Na tathai tarhi rochante graheshu graha sampada yadi nasyad grahe mata patni va pati devata vyange ratha iva pragya ko naam sit dinavat.
Puranjan said, "I do not understand why my household paraphernalia does not attract me as before. I think that if there is neither a mother nor a devoted wife at home, the home is like a chariot without wheels. Where is the fool who will sit down on such an unworkable chariot?"
Okay, so it describes that how I do not understand why my household paraphernalia does not attract me as before. Right? Because a person, when he actually repents, he is not attracted to the objects of sense gratification as he used to attracted before. Right? So the forbidden objects do not give him pleasure anymore. Right? That indicates the first thing. Na tatha arhati rochante. So the forbidden objects do not give him pleasure anymore. Right? So there in this verse he's saying that without mother and wife, nothing is attractive at home. Right? So the mother represents bhakti to Vishnu and the wife represents religious intelligence. Right? Without that, actually the house doesn't give any pleasure. So then Prabhupada quotes Chanakya Pandit, Mata yasya grihe nasti bharya cha apriyavadini, right? Aranyam ten gantavyam yatha aranyam tatha graham. If a person has neither a mother nor a pleasing wife, or say affectionate mother nor a pleasing wife, he should leave home and go to the forest, for there is no difference between the forest and home. You know, aranyam ten gantavyam. Okay, so therefore in household life, you know, a person household life is useless, basically he is saying, unless there is a devotion to Supreme Lord and intelligence is religious. Ko vartate salalana majantam vyasanadnave yama mudharate pragyam dipayanti pade pade.
Kindly let me know the whereabouts of that beautiful woman who always saves me when I am drowning in the ocean of danger. By giving me good intelligence at every step, she always saves me.
Okay, so Prabhupada said there is no difference between a good wife and good intelligence. And then second paragraph he says, herein we see that King Puranjan was searching after his good wife, who always held him out of the dangerous situations that always occur in material existence. Right? So if one is fortunate enough to get a good chaste wife, you know, he can always help her husband not to degrade. Right? She can always keep him, she will always advise him in a way where he doesn't degrade, and she protects him from degrading like that. Go to text 17. Naranathana janimas tat priyayad vivasyati bhutale niravastare shayanam pashya shatruhan.
All the women addressed the king, O master of citizens, we do not know why your dear wife has taken on this sort of existence. O killer of enemies, kindly look. She is lying on the ground without bedding. We cannot understand why she is acting this way.
Okay, so herein that his wife was sitting on the ground, not wearing any ornaments, and she was lying like a neglected woman, right? So when a person takes to sinful activities, the intelligence endowed with religion sits neglected. He neglects his religious intelligence, dharmic intelligence. Okay, we go to text 18. Narada uvacha Puranjana so mahishim Rikshavadhu tambhuvi Tatsangon matita gyano Veklavyam paramam yajo.
The great sage Narada continued, my dear King Prachin Barhi, As soon as King Puranjan saw his queen lying on the ground, appearing like a mendicant, he immediately became bewildered.
Okay, so this verse describes the remorse of a person who had given up his religious intelligence and engaged in sinful activities. He repents. Prabhupada says in the fourth line, in other words, he repented that he had neglected his intelligence and had engaged himself in the forest in killing animals. And Prabhupada gives now how a devotee also repents. Now this is in the context of Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada writes this beautiful bhajan of Narottam Das Thakur, which was his favorite bhajan. Hari Hari Vifale Janama Govainu. Manushya Janama Paiya Radha Krishna Na Bhajiya Janiya Shuniya Vishakhainu. Right? The king repentance is not at this level, you know, this is very high level of repentance. You know, Radha Krishna Na Bhajinu. King is repentant, oh, I killed so many animals, I enjoyed so many women, all that. You know, he performed very degraded activities. But this is Vaishnavacharyas are just lamenting that, oh, I did not sufficiently serve the Lord, their lordships in this human form of life. I wasted time in different activities, in occupation, in taking care of family, etc. You know, like that. So this is this kind of repentance. there is a big difference between the two kind of repentance actually. One repentance is born out of guilt. This is the first repentance when a person repents for sinful. But this repentance is born out of humility. This repentance of the acharyas, you know, of the pure devotees. Okay, we'll go to text 19. Santavyam slakshanaya vacha hridayena vidujata preyasya sneha samrambha lingam atmani nabhyagat.
The king with aggrieved mind began to speak to his wife with very pleasing words. Although he was filled with great regret and tried to pacify her, he could not see any symptoms of anger caused by love within the heart of his beloved wife.
Okay, so Vishnu Thakur says, by good fortune my previous intelligence has again appeared, without whom I will become unfortunate. Right? He said that in the mind. He could not see in her any symptoms of anger caused by her affection. Right? So the basically a person may have abundant his intelligence, but if he wishes, then the intelligence immediately comes back. You know, he repented and he wished, the intelligence immediately, that intelligence returned to him. That is the point being made over here. And then Prabhupada talks in terms of Krishna consciousness. Right? He says in the last four lines of the purport, naturally one who comes to Krishna consciousness regrets his previous sinful activities in human form. Only by this process can one be delivered from the clutches of nescience or ignorance in materialistic life. You know, so the process of repentance Prabhupada actually glorifies in this series of verses, process of repentance. Because by genuine repentance, a person gradually he becomes humble, you know, because he considers it to be wrong that I did this activity. And only when the humility appears in the heart, then only his heart is softened, you know. So humility is something which softens the heart, and then only the seed of bhakti can actually fructify. Right? So therefore, Prabhupada says, only by this process one can be delivered from the clutches of nisains. Like that. So therefore, everyone should actually, you know, have some genuine repentance over whatever, you know, one may have done wrong or whatever time one may have wasted. Right? That is, that nourishes one's devotional service, this process, yes.
Sometimes it is seen, especially with me, that if I commit some mistake and if I do repent, the next day japa will be very nice, like if I had some commit mistake in the previous day. But normal days, japa is normal. So it appears committing mistake is better than that.
Not committing mistakes. See, we are repenting for the gross mistake, you know. That means we have to now even repent for the time, you know, and we are wasting without actually, you're understanding, we have to then kind of take that repentance to another level, you know. Where the acharyas have sung, you know, he says, oh, when will, you know, my offenses will be gone and when will I be able to chant, you know. They are repenting that, oh, I am wasting my time without having any taste for chanting, without actually serving Krishna. You know, it's not that you have to commit wrong and then repent for it. You know, that will be a wrong, that will be a mistake, you know. You have to commit something wrong and then repent for it. You know, we already have done a lot of wrong and still doing in the sense of it. So basically the point is, see, after we repent for our gross things, you know, gross mistakes, we become more sensitive and we become we go deeper at a subtler level and we repent for the time we did not spend in Krishna consciousness. You know, the time which we wasted, we repent for that time. Gradually it's increasing, you know, it's more deeper and more subtle than, you know. Then the acharyas even repent for the moment they were not serving, you know. One thing is that we repent for the wasting the time and useless pursuits, etc. Oh, we again indulge in so many things, you know. Then they even repent for any moment which they did not serve their Lord. You know, so there will be such a deep. There is one verse which says, "Sahanistan mahachidra sa moha such a vibrama." You know, he said that is the greatest loss, sahanis, and that is the greatest anomaly, sa moha such a vibrama. That is the greatest illusion. That is the greatest, you know. That is the greatest illusion, that is the greatest loss, that is the greatest pitfall, etc. You know, it's been describing what? That moment in which Vasudevam na chintayet. That moment lost without thinking of Krishna and serving service to Krishna. You know, so just see the where has the repentance gone, you know. Where has the repentance gone? That moment which is passed without thinking of Vasudev, right? That person repented. He said, that has been my greatest loss. So like that, you know. So that means we deepen it. We go at a more subtler level like that. You not read that verse? Sahani Sanmaha Chidram. It is in Bhagavatam verse. I don't remember. I read it many years back. A Prabhupada quote somewhere. Surely so some. Where is that verse from? So H-A-N-I-S Hanistan Mahachidram. You get it? On the laptop? No? Sahani is not getting tan mahachidram, samoha, such a vibrama. Vasudevam na chintaye, that is the last, you know. Sometimes maybe some more technicals. Sahani tam mahachidram, which is that verse from? Vishnu Puran, where Prabhupada quotes this verse? Recite the full verse. it is in that category. Oh, okay. But it will be quoted somewhere also by Prabhupada at different places also. Chidram. Yan muhurtam shanam vapi vasu devam na. That muhurt, you know, that shan, that moment. Like that. Okay, we go to text 20. Anuninne atha shanakair viro anunaya kovida pasparsha pad yugalam aha chutsangalalitam.
The king was expert in flattery. He began to pacify his queen very slowly. First he touched her 2 feet, then embraced her nicely, seating her on his lap, and began to speak as follows.
Okay. So he says that from today I will no longer use my intelligence for enjoying sinfully. Her 2 feet represent giving up false ego and respecting the devotees. Two things. Parasparshapad yugalam. Then aha chotsangalalitam. And he puts her on his lap means he puts her back in his heart. You know, accepts again the religious intelligence. But Prabhupada says that, you know, how one should touch the feet of the spiritual master, you know, so in the context of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada says, unless one takes shelter of the lotus feet of spiritual master, one cannot become Krishna conscious. Naisham mashista vadu urukkarangrim, Prabhupada quotes that verse. Text 21. Puranjan uvacha nunam to akrita punyaste vritya yeshu ishvara shubhe Kritaga suatma satkritva shiksha dandam na yunjate.
King Puranjan said, my dear beautiful wife, when a master accepts a servant as his own man but does not punish him for his offense, the servant must be considered unfortunate.
Okay, so Puranjan says actually a fortunate is the servant who is punished by the master, right? So therefore saying that actually if a servant doesn't punish a master, then the servant is unfortunate. So it's a good fortune that a servant is punished by the master. So one will say, oh, so then I will commit mistake again and again to arise my good fortune. You know, that is not the point actually. That is not the point. If by chance conditioned soul has committed a mistake, then he is fortunate to be punished by a master. Right? Advaita Acharya actually glorifies the punishment of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in many verses. Right? But we have no time to discuss now. There's a whole chapter, there's many, many verses of glorification of punishment. You know, by Advaita Acharya. Therefore, the next verse is Parmo Anugraho Dando. Wow, this punishment is a great mercy. Right? In fact, actually, the punishment is a great mercy. Parmo Anugraho Dando. Text 22. Parmo Anugraho Dando. vrityeshu prabhunarpita balona veda tattanvi mandu krityam amarshana.
Slender maiden, when a master chastises his servant, the servant should not accept this as great, should accept this as great mercy. One who becomes angry must be very foolish not to know that such is the duty of his friend.
Okay, so the victim of punishment who laments is the fool, Vishnu Thakur says. And that means actually those who are foolish servants, those who do not know this fact, they immediately leave the master. And Kali Yuga, most of the people are like that. You know, therefore, if Kali Yuga, if you have to chastise someone, you have to be really cautious, because surely a person will leave, not be able to take in chastisement. But Prabhupada talks of that, you know, that instead of becoming rightful, a person becomes angry. You know, prakopaya na shantaye. What is that first line? Dando hi murkha nam. Upadesham, upadesho hi murkha nam, prakopaya na shantaye. If a person verbally chastises, or, you know, in whatever way a person chastises, but if the person is foolish, if the servant is foolish, he doesn't accept that as a mercy, you know, he just leaves, or he becomes very angry and goes away like that. So most of the people, you know, in Kali Yuga, they are of this category. Therefore, actually, chastisement has been banned also most of the places. You know, you can't shout at anyone. It's considered very abusive. If the parents shout at even their children, you know, whom they are supposed to discipline, they can't do it. They will be arrested. You know, that's how Western, how foolish is the Western mentality, you know. They find it to be abusive. Any punishment, they find it to be abusive. You know, like that. That is the mentality of most of the people. But actually, an intelligent person should know that if I have been given some punishment, it is for my, it is paramo anugraha. It's a great mercy, not a small mercy. You know, it has been greatly glorified at many places actually in the scriptures, that if a person is given some punishment by a spiritual master or somebody else, you know, by a Supreme Lord, that is to be considered a great mercy. It has been highly glorified form of mercy. Right? Some other time, maybe some other context, we'll discuss his greatness. Right? But so intelligent person should take it like that. You know, just that came to my mind, you know, how when the servant of Srivas Thakur, Harichandan, you know, servant of the king Pratap Rudra, his name was Harichandan, he was slapped by Srivas Thakur, and he became very angry. Srivas Thakur said, "What? You have obtained which I desire, you know. I never received such mercy, you know." Said, "Are, tumko do jhapad," you know. Person said, "Are, tum jaake le lo aisa mercy, you know. Ek nahi, double le lo, you know." So person, you know, but the king genuinely says, you know, he said, "Oh, you have received such a mercy. You know, I have never been so fortunate." You know, he said, "This is, you know, usko nahi pada, isliye aisa bol raha hai." You know, a person may say that actually, you know, but no, that was actually the king's mood. You know, he glorified his servant for receiving mercy which he hasn't received. You know, that was his glorious vision. There are many such instances like that, you know, like that. So therefore, paramo anugraho dando. It's a great mercy. The punishment is a great mercy. Satvam mukham sudhati subhrunu ragavara. Vrida vilamba vilasaddhasita valokam. Neelalakalibhirupaskritamunnasamna. Swanam pradarshaya manasvini valguvakyam.
My dear wife, your teeth are very beautifully set, and your attractive features make you appear very thoughtful. Kindly give up your anger, be merciful upon me, and please smile upon me with loving attachment. When I see a smile on your beautiful face, and when I see your hair, which is as beautiful as the color blue, and see your raised nose and hear your sweet talk, you will become more beautiful to me and attract me and oblige me. You are my most respected mistress.
So, in the context of this narration, now, after having received punishment, he is begging for mercy. You know, after one receives a punishment, he begs for mercy, kind of. You know? So he's praying that may my previous intelligence become favorable and steady. You know, you become favorable means may my intelligence remain steady, may become favorable in the context. But Prabhupada here in the purport narrates the story of liquid beauty, that infatuated husband. You know, so then as I said that we have studied Prabhupada purports parallel to the technical flow of the chapter. But Prabhupada cautions that how a person may become attracted by his by some women or so, you know, like that. Text 24. Tasmin dade damam damamaham tava veera patne yonyatra bhusura kulat kritakil vishastam. Pashenavita bhayamun muditam trilokyam anyatra vay murripor itaratra dashat.
O hero's wife, kindly tell me if someone has offended you. I am prepared to give such a person punishment as long as he does not belong to Brahmana caste. But for the servant of Murripu, Krishna, I excuse no one within or beyond these three worlds. No one can freely move after offending you, for I am prepared to punish him.
Okay, so very beautiful again lesson here. So he's saying, oh, wife of a hero, you know, you are the wife of a king. I'll punish whoever has offended you because I belong to you, right? But he said, however, I do not have the power over the brahmanas and the servants of who? Murripu, the enemy. Murari is the same as Murripu, the word used over here. So basically, it means that that how King Puranjan here says intelligently that he has no jurisdiction over brahmanas and vaishnavas. So actually, so this means that if there has been any fault or due to old impressions or anything else, I can clear it. Punishment is I can clear it by performing charity, vows, pious, etc. However, if there is some obstacle due to offense, you know, or anger of a brahmana, that I have no power to remove. You know, so by performing, he says, I can clear, you know, whatever, etc., other things. You mean by performing, I can punish the offender, means performing this dana, vrata, tapa, I will clear off everything else and any other sinful. Right? Punishing means I can clear off any sinful activity I may have performed. If you are angry with me due to my sinful activity, I'll clear off by performing yajna, dana, tapa, etc. But however, not the curse of a brahmana and a Vaishnava offense. Right? The only relief from these two is what? Mercy. That is not within his hand. So one cannot relieve oneself of these two by himself doing anything. Actually, in that sense, you know, performing, there is no kind of sacrifice or atonement or charity by which the curse of Brahman or Vaishnava offense can be counteracted. It can only be relieved by obtaining mercy of devotee. Right? So like that. नते वितलिकं मलिनं विहर्षम् संभ्रम्भ भीमव विमृष्टमपेतरागम् पश्येस्तनाव अपि सुचोपहतो सुजातो बिम्बाधरं विगत कुङ्कुमपङ्करागम्
My dear wife, until this day I have never seen your face without tilak decorations, nor have I seen you so morose and without luster or affection, nor have I seen your two nice breasts wet with tears from your eyes, nor have I ever before seen your lips, which are ordinarily as red as the bimba fruit, without their reddish hue.
So it indicates that the intelligence is not as brilliant as it was formerly. You know, he has come back to his religious intelligence, but it's not as brilliant because of the effect remains of committing sinful activity. You know, that effect remains. So it is not yet as brilliant. He's saying, I don't see you, you know, brilliant and lustrous. So, Prabhupada gives a very beautiful, in the parallel context of Krishna consciousness, that in the one's consciousness and intelligence without brilliant thoughts about Krishna remains morose. You know? Remains morose. The last verse, Tanme prasida suhrida kritakil vishasya. Swaram gatasya mrigayam vyasanaturasya kadevaram vashagatam kusumastra vega visrast pamsanam ushati nabhajet kritte
My dear queen, due to my sinful desires, I went to the forest to hunt without asking you. Therefore, I must admit that I have offended you. Nonetheless, thinking of me as your most intimate subordinate, you should still be very much pleased with me. Actually, I am very much bereaved. But being pierced by arrows of the Cupid, I am feeling lusty. But where is the beautiful woman who would give up her lusty husband and refuse to unite with him?
Okay, so you must say, ये क्या चल रहा है ये सुधर रहा है कि बिगड़ रहा है यू नो समटाइम में कन्फ्यूजन में आकर यू नो दिस किंग इज कमिंग टू हिज सेंसेस और लूजिंग हिज सेंसेस थोड़ा ऐसा बीच बीच में लगता है ये यू नो इफ यू सी द फ्लो ऑफ द चैप्टर इट समटाइम लुक्स लाइक दैट इज अगेन बिकमिंग अट्रैक्टेड टू एन्जॉय यू नो द ब्लैग ऑफ स्टूल एंड यूरिन एंड फ्लैश बट एक्चुअली This is a negative example, but a positive lesson. You understand? Just like Rupa Goswami gives the negative example to derive a positive lesson. Just like a boy is attracted toward the young girl, you know, etc. And you do anything to meet her. He said, wow, kaisa example de rahe, you know, Rupa Goswami. It's a negative example, but the lesson is very positive. Similarly, herein, actually, he says... Prabhupada describes very nicely when one's intelligence is properly utilized, both the intellect and intelligent person enjoy one another with great satisfaction. He said, I want to now embrace you. I'm feeling attracted towards a religious intelligence, and in this way, please do not give me up. So that we can actually enjoy a religious, you know, in a religious way. So the meaning is actually positive over here. So he's saying that I am very eager to embrace my previous religious way of living. You're getting the point? So So therefore he is expressing that eagerness over here. And Prabhupada, Jan Mithunadi Grahmedi, look parallel, this is a parallel lesson, you know. And Prabhupada criticizes those who are Grahmedis, you know, those are attracted toward their wife, etc. In the context of Krishna consciousness, that one should not be attracted in this way, because this is a Sukham Hitucham, like that. So that lesson also Prabhupada gives in the purport. Okay, so you take a break of 10 minutes and we'll complete 27 chapter. It will take an hour or so. Around in 1 hour we'll complete. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, so chapter 27, attack by Chandaveg on the city of King Puranjan, the character of Kal Kanya. Ittam Narada Uvacha, Ittam Puranjanam Sadrya. Vashamaniya Vibhrame Puranjani Maharaja Reme Ramayati Patim.
The great sage Narada continued, "My dear king, after bewildering her husband in different ways and bringing him under her control, the wife of King Puranjan gave him all satisfaction and enjoyed sex life with him.
Okay, so now we studied that how he performs forbidden sinful activities and then come back to religious intelligence, right? But then, now this chapter again describes his entanglement in religious performances. You know, even as we said that how scripture describes pravritti mark, right, which is religious, which is not irreligious, but a person when he becomes attached to that, he becomes entangled again. Right? Just like Prabhupada says, sometimes the mode of goodness is also binding. We have to transcend it. It is better than others, but still binding. So religious life, which he returns to, is better than religious life. But still, a person becomes attached to his religiously married wife, he still misses the aim of the life. Right? So that is what is being described over here, right? So Vishnu Thakur says, this chapter describes his household life with proper conduct and intelligence ruled by dharma. However, he was controlled now completely by her affectionate actions, right? Now although he gave up his sinful life, he became very attached to his religious enjoyment. Religious intelligence which suggested enjoyment in a religious way. So that is being described over here. Over text 2. So Raja Mahishim Rajan Susnatam Ruchirananam Krita Sustayanam Triptam Abhyananda Dupagatam
The queen took her bath and dressed herself nicely with all auspicious garments and ornaments. After taking food and becoming completely satisfied, she returned to king. Upon seeing her beautifully decorated, attractive face, the king welcomed her with all devotion.
Okay, so basically seeing the happiness of his religious intelligence, he felt himself content, right? He felt himself successful. And Prabhupada gives now purport in a social cultural aspect. He says, upon seeing one's wife dressed nicely, one can think very soberly about family business. When a person is too anxious about family affairs, he cannot discharge his family duties nicely. A wife is therefore supposed to be an inspiration and should keep the husband's intelligence in good order so that they can combinedly prosecute the affairs of family life without abandonment. So this is all the social, in the social terms Prabhupada talks. Social perspective Prabhupada gives. Right? This is necessary. He says, if a person is not sober, you know, if it's a social sober life, the wife is attractively decorated and attached to the husband, then he can execute the family's duties and also the spiritual duties like that. Tayopaguda paridabda kandaro Raho numantrair apikrishta chetana Nakalaram ho bubude durattayam Diva nisheti pramada parigraha.
Queen Puranjani embraced the king, and the king also responded by embracing her shoulders. In this way, in a solitary place, they enjoyed joking words. Thus King Puranjan became very much captivated by his beautiful wife and deviated from his good sense. He forgot that the passing of days and nights meant that his span of life was being reduced without profit.
Okay, so now again he became attached to So he became so attracted that he lost his intelligence for crossing the ocean of birth and death. He became stuck at religion only. Right? He got stuck at religion only. So now he's at this stage, he's not grossly sinful, but he's wasting his life fruitlessly. So actually, in fruitive activities, one wastes his life fruitlessly. He doesn't get the ultimate fruit, which is crossing the ocean of birth and death. Right? So another important verse is Na kala ramho bubude durattayam, third line of the verse. He could not notice the passing of the time, right? Kala ramhos, sarvatra kalena gabhira ramhasa, same meaning exactly, that the force of the time, the time passes with a great force, you know. Why great force? Because no one check that force, you know, it just passes. No one can counter that force, no one can check it. That is ramha, that means kala has a veg. The chand veg means the force which can't be counteracted. The same Chandavega, the chapter, is the same thing. So the kal ramho durattayam. Durattayam means no one can counteract. So the force of time, he failed to notice the force of time which can't be counteracted then. Once the time is gone, it's gone. You know? That can't be brought back. And Prabhupada quotes, Prabhupada says, this is in the middle of the purport. But when a person is too much attached to his wife and family affairs, he does not take Krishna consciousness very seriously. He thus becomes degraded, not knowing that he cannot buy back even a second of his life in return for millions of dollars. That is how Durattayam, you can't do anything about it then, once the time is passed. Anyone knows the verse? This is Chanakya's verse. Ayushashan ekopi na labhyate swarna koti bhi. He described how the wake of the time can't be reversed. You know, he said, Ayushashan ekopi. He said, someone may say, give me, you know, 1 year more to live. He said, 1 year? 1 month? 1 day? He said, you fool? Not even one moment. Even if you give everything, all the wealth of the entire world. He said, what do you talk? You know, foolish people may talk. Oh, doctor, please extend life by 5 years. Ayushashana ekopi. When the time has come, you know, then not even one moment in exchange of millions of gold coins, you know, that means the whatever amount a person may pay. Right? So therefore, a person engrossed in sense gratification, he doesn't fails to notice that how the time is passing. Text 4. Shayan unnad mado Shayan unnad mado mahamana Mahar hatalpe mahishi bhujopadi Tame vaviro manute param yatas Tamo bhibhuto nanijam param chayat.
In this way, increasingly overwhelmed by illusion, King Puranjan, although advanced in consciousness, remained always lying down on his head on the pillow of his wife's arms. In this way, he considered woman to be his ultimate life and soul. Becoming thus overwhelmed by the mode of ignorance, he could not understand the meaning of self-realization of his self or of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Okay, another very important point. So he is dharmic, he is religious, living a religious household life. But then he considered that dharma, his religious life, to be the ultimate goal. That is a mistake. You know? So dharma, liberation and not dharma is the goal of life. Right? So, you know, actually Vaishnavas are not per se against demigod worship. But when one worships them as the Supreme, that is a problem. As the Supreme. You know, Prabhupada said, our philosophy is that the servant of the Lord is more worshipable. So therefore, Lord Shiva is more worshipable, but not as the Supreme. That is the whole thing. Right? Similarly, you know, if you see Prabhupada and Acharya have criticized the social welfare work in there. And Prabhupada has appreciated social welfare work also in the 11th canto at many places. So social welfare work as the ultimate goal of life is condemned by the Acharya. That one should know. That this is the highest, you know, do welfare to others. That is foolish conception. But as per se, to do social welfare work, and if we along with that we give Krishna consciousness, that is not condemned. That is not the goal of life. That is the whole thing. When a person gets stuck there, that is condemned. So he got stuck at his religious life. Forgot that he has to go ahead. So dharma is not the goal. So he just thought that to be the ultimate goal. That is a big mistake actually. That is a big mistake. Okay, we go to text 5. Tayevam ramana manasya kama kashmala chetasa shanardham iva rajendra vati krantam navam vaya.
My dear King Prachin Varishat, in this way, King Puranjana, with his heart full of lust and sinful reactions, began to enjoy sex with his wife. And in this way, his new life and youth expired in a half a moment.
Right. So actually, this is again, it's that the time passes actually very quickly. When a person reaches old age, then he realizes, how the time passed, you know. He doesn't realize a person engrossed in sense gratification. The time passes actually very quickly. And he's immediately bewildered, you know, why the faculties are not working, no, etc. Right? And Prabhupada quotes, E dhana yavan putra parijan, iche ki athe paratiti re. Paratiti means how much they will last, you know, just vanquish like that. They will go away very fast. Right? And Prabhupada says, time and tide wait for no man. Like that. The span of youth expires very quickly, especially 15 to 30 years, you know. Prabhupada says when the person is, wants to enjoy maximum, that duration 15 to 30 years, it passes very quickly. Like that. And then Prabhupada talks about kama kalmash chetasa, you know, kalmash chetasa, contaminated intelligence. And then Prabhupada says that how we have to change our consciousness from kalmasha chetasa to Krishna chetasa, you know, polluted consciousness to Krishna consciousness. Text 6. Tasyama janayat putran puranjanayam puranjana shatane kadash virad ayushovardham mathatyagat.
The great sage Narada then addressed King Prachinabharishat, O one whose lifespan is great, Virat, in this way King Puranjana begot 1,100 sons within the womb of his wife, Puranjani. However, in this business, he passed away half of his lifespan.
Okay. So, being attached to his religious household life, he became, he was enjoying that, and 50 years passed, he didn't realize in his begetting children, in sex enjoyment. 50 years passed. Ayusho ardham atatyagyat. 50 years just passed like that. Right? There's a big span of life. Text 7. Duhitra dashotra shatam pitra matra yashaskari shilo darya gunopeta pranjanya prajapate.
Prajapati, King Prachinabharishit. In this way, King Puranjan also begot 110 daughters. All of these were equally glorified like a father and mother. Their behavior was gentle and they possessed magnanimity and other good qualities.
So Prabhupada says children begotten under the rules and regulation of the scriptures generally become as good as the father and mother. But children born illegitimately mainly become one Shankara. So Prabhupada appreciates here, you know. He said his children were all very glorious, they had all the good qualities. He said, kya chal hai, kabhi glorify karte, kabhi puranjan ko dhote, you know, acche se, you know. It's a fact actually, you know, sometimes the, you see, you know, Prabhupada sometimes criticize, sometimes praise, you know. So you have to understand the whole thing. You know, here Prabhupada says, yes, they are not one Shankara. Puranjan conceived these children and all these children had all the good qualities. But the point here is to conceive children of good quality, not the goal of life. He got stuck over there. That's why Prabhupada condemns him. So you have to understand, you know, reconcile all the Prabhupada's purpose. Right? So fine, you know, if a person has to get children, he should begot children in a religious way. The children should not be one Shankara, they should have good qualities. But that is not the goal. Therefore, Prabhupada criticizes him also. You know, he's not the goal. Sa panchalapati putran pitravamsha vavardhanan dare samyojayamasa
After this, King Puranjan, king of the Panchal country, in order to increase the descendants of his paternal family, married his sons with qualified wives and married his daughters with qualified husbands.
Okay, so he executed all his duties. You know, Prabhupada says it is the duty of a father and mother to arrange the marriage of their sons and daughters. You know, and they should not be so Prabhupada here again appreciates in that sense, you know, that he did all his duties duly. He arranged his wife, his sons for proper wives, he arranged his daughter to have proper husband, everything. Right? But that is not the goal of life. That is the whole point. You know, you do your duties, but go ahead. You know, so some people feel, you know, in this world, we have finished all our duties, you know. Sab bache humare settle ho gaye hain. You know, we have finished all our duties. He said, what about the duty of human form of life? Where has that gone, the primary duty? You know, that the people forget. That is being condemned. You know, people become satisfied that now we have settled all our duties. You know, now we can peacefully watch television at home. You know, many elderly people, you know, they feel like that. Forgetting the ultimate duty of the... Putranam cha bhavan putrat. Ekaikasya shatam shatam. Yarve puranjano vamsha. Panchaleshu samedhita.
Of these many sons, each produced hundreds and hundreds of grandsons. In this way, the whole city of Panchal became overcrowded by the sons and grandsons of King Puranjan.
Okay, so yeah, so the they feel that actually now, okay, now our sons, they have gotten sons, the daughter have gotten children, you know. So they feel even more satisfied, you know, that not just they have married them, but now they have grandchildren, you know, etc. So they feel their life is even more successful now, you know. That is the mentality. So Prabhupada says very nicely, within this material world covered by a material body, this is the middle of the paragraph. Within this material world covered by material body of subtle and gross matter, every living entity creates actions and reactions, which are herein known allegorically as sons and grandsons. Right? So he creates so many actions and reactions, so many actions and reactions, big population of action and reaction. You know, he like that. Right? And there are two kinds, Prabhupada says, action, namely pious and impious. Right? So here, King Puranjan may be pious, but then all is action and reaction. Within the piety, then there is no pure pious act. There is always some impiety. You know, there is always mixed like that. But then one has to go beyond this. That is the whole point. Right? And then Prabhupada says, the second paragraph, thus the field of action and reactions by which one's descendants are increased begins with sex life. Right? And then she says, if you skip four or five lines, his process of reproducing so many sons and grandsons result in so-called society, nations, communities and so on. All these communities, societies, dynasties and nations simply expand from sex life. It's a very profound, you know, words of Prabhupada, because the acharyas do not see superficially, you know. People are sometimes very proud, you know. We are belong to this family. This is our dynasty. This is our nation. We have such a great lineage. Prabhupada said, it's all coming from sex life, you know. He is pointing out the root of it. Because you know, there was once a very wealthy person and Prabhupada was visiting him. And he introduced, you know, so he said, he's my brother, he's industrialist. And then his brother, then his brother-in-law, then his wife, you know, then his sister-in-law, then their children. You know, the big family they introduced. And, you know, Prabhupada just nodded, you know, gracefully. And then Prabhupada just he told his disciples. Prabhupada said, this is my sex life. In the past time, you know, like that. Prabhupada simply summarized the whole introduction, you know. So therefore, Acharya, you know, they point out the root, you know. They said this is all insignificant, actually. One should not take pride in one's dynasty, community, lineage, all these things. That what is all expansion of one's sex life, one's desire to enjoy. What great in that, you know. One should not get stuck over here, right. One should see that actually all this will be just comes and goes, right. This is a cyclic, you know, bhutva bhutva praliyate. One should take to Krishna consciousness, you know. And then actually there is something greatness in that, you know. A similar thing, you know, it becomes great actually, you know. Here is my daughter. Her name is, you know, so-and-so Devi Dasi, and she has taken initiation. She is serving in this temple. Oh, that becomes very glorious, you know. The whole family, everyone is the servant of Krishna. That is the true glory. Otherwise, simply sex life, as Prabhupada pointed out. Teshu tadrikta hareshu graha koshanu jivishu nirudhena mamatvena visheshu anva baddhita.
These sons and grandsons were virtually plunderers of King Puranjan's riches, including his home, treasury, servants, secretaries, and all other paraphernalia. Puranjan's attachment for these things was very deep-rooted.
Right. So he was very attached to all his sons, grandsons, and all that, you know. And Prabhupada says that how, if a person, you know, comes and pickpockets, a person goes and complains to the police, you know. But when his wife takes out the purse from his pocket, oh, he becomes very joyful, you know. So Prabhupada says, just see how bewildered he is, you know. He's being plundered, you know. In one case, he goes and lodges a complaint and fight against and so many things. Other case, he becomes so happy, you know, that his children and wife, they are plundering his wealth. In the context, that's how his life is plundered away by the action reaction, you know. He caused one action, then he adjusts the reaction of that. In adjusting the reaction of it, he takes so many other actions and then bears the reaction of that. In this way, his life is being plundered. The lifespan is going away. And he's not realizing that. Ije chakratu birgho rair. Text 11. Ije chakratu birgho rair. Dikshita Vashumaraka Devan Pitran Bhutapatin Nana Kamo Yatha Bhavan.
Narada continued, my dear King Prachin Bharishat, like you, King Puranjan also became implicated in so many desires. Thus he worshipped demigods, forefathers and social leaders with various sacrifices, which were all very ghastly because they were inspired by the desire to kill animals.
So Narada Muni, he says, just like you, he became also implicated in so many desires. So just see, after, you know, 2.5 chapters, first time Narada Muni is giving the hint, you know. He has been expanded that allegory, and King Bharishat is hearing, you know. And first time he just giving the hint, you know, this Puranjan could be you, you know. It doesn't openly declare, but gives the first hint after long, you know, expansion of this allegory. Okay. So Prabhupada says, in this verse, he first discloses his intention, Narada Muni, saying like you. Like that. So herein it means, you know, ije chakratubir ghorer, in to perform all the sacrifices, you know, in being involved in so much dharma, he has to worship demigod, forefather, social leader. And similarly, a person is involved in so many action reactions. He has to go meet this politician, that bureaucrat, give him bribe, get the paper signed, go for permission here, go there, you know, so many things, if you see. So all this is, you know, he has to do all this, spend so much energy to maintain, you know, all his action and reaction for sense enjoyment, right? So important lesson is actually, the point is that more a person wants to enjoy, the more he has to work hard. So therefore, what is the whole Western economy based upon? You enjoy more, other and enjoy more. Hey, but no money. Take loan. Hey, what do you after taking loan? Work hard. It comes to this only. The whole thing is, the whole Western economy is basically economic development means you have to enjoy a lot, and then what goes without saying is you have to work like ass also. Because they both are proportionate to that. Therefore, they only advertise, you know, enjoy more, enjoy more, enjoy more. But parallel it is, work like ass more, work like ass, more, harder, 16 hours a day, you know, so like that. So therefore, a more person wants to enjoy, he has to put so much intense labor, you know. So therefore, a devotee should be intelligent, he should live simply. Therefore, he had so much time, you know, for Krishna consciousness, just by living simply. He has so much time for Krishna consciousness. Some devotees also sometimes feel, you know, I want to stay near the temple, you know, and for that I need 5 crore rupees to buy a flat near temple. I'll work very hard, you know, 30 years, 40 years, 30 years, you have to work hard, very hard, so I can live near the temple. In working hard, he goes far and far and far away, you know. Until he was in the city, you know, where temple is there. He go to such city where there is no temple around also to work hard, you know. You know, many times we fool actually devotees like that. It's a fact actually, you know. So one should know that actually better is to live simply. You know, you don't want to have a big flat in South Bombay and this and that. But rather than you live simply, you know, have in the community of devotees, and then you have so much time for Krishna consciousness. In this way, actually Maya tricks many devotees also into work very hard. You know, they said, you know, because, you know, we need facilities for practicing Krishna consciousness. Actually, no facilities are required to practice Krhishna consciousness. But Maya befooled, you know, you need a big flat and you need a good car to go to temple, you know. You work very hard and one person goes away from Krishna consciousness. It's how Maya tricks actually. Right? So therefore, even we are in the ashram, you know, if we live simply, you can eat simply, then we can get so much time. Right? Then if we want to enjoy a lot of variety of foods, kitchen management is thankless. Then I need to have my wife, you know, who will cook good prasad for me. And then you have to maintain. And then you have to work hard. You know, the story of the sage, you know, mouse and copian, it begins from there, you know. So it begins from there. It's just like, you know, so one should be alert, you know, a small desire, you know, so I want to enjoy a little better facility. It begins from there and start working. And then he lands up somewhere else, you know, like that. Therefore, if one doesn't want to, one can be satisfied by living simply, then he can save so much of time and hard labor and, you know, so much valuable energy, which may be uselessly wasted. That is the point over here. Right? There are many, many important lessons over here. Right, so we will go little ahead of time today, and I saw you had a nice prasad during the break. Already you have already planned for it. You know, nice snack break you already have. So yukteshu evam pramattasya kutumba sakta chetasa asasad sahas सभी कालो यो प्रिया प्रियोषिताम.
Thus King Puranjan, being attached to the fruity activities, karmakandya, as well as kith and kin, and being overseer with polluted consciousness, eventually arrived at the point not very much liked by those who are the overly attached to the material things.
Okay, so he came to a point which is not very much liked. Very important word. Yo apriya priya yoshitam. Right? So the old age is very apriya. To whom? Those who are priya yoshitam. Right? Those are very pleasing to women. Those men whom women are pleasing and those who are pleasing to women, both ways, priya yoshitam. For them, old age is very apriya. Okay, so this is a very beautiful phrase. Yo apriya priya yoshitam. So king is priya yoshitam, very fond of women. So he came to a stage which is very apriya, you know, which is not at all pleasing to him. Right? How unpleasing is the old age? One of the biggest industries is the cosmetic industry. Many hundreds and billions of dollars are spent every month on cosmetics. That's how unpleasing is the old age, right? So people try to hide the old age. It's very upriam. We can see from the sales of cosmetic industry. There are facts and figures, right? चंडवेग इति ख्यातो गंधर्वाधिपतिर् नृपः गंधर्वास्तस्य बलिना षष्टि उत्तर शतत्रयम्.
किंग इन गंधर्वलोका देर इज अ किंग नेम्ड चंडवेग. अंडर हिम देर आर 360 वेरी पावरफुल गंधर्व सोल्जर्स.
ओके सो in Gandharva there is a king known as Chandaveg. Who is this Chandaveg? Time. 1 year, the duration of 1 year. Right? The time duration of 1 year, Chandaveg. Under him there are 360 very powerful Gandharva soldiers. This is a lunar calculation. A lunar year has 360 days. Right? So Chandaveg means with that which passes very swiftly, you know, person just suddenly is unable to notice the passing of time, you know, how his youth has just finished like that. So this has been described as soldiers because, and very powerful soldiers, you know, very powerful soldier is mentioned over, if you see the word, Gandharvas, Tasya, Balina, very powerful. Why so powerful? Because they will take away everything by force. Nothing, absolutely nothing will be left, including one's dear life. They are very powerful. They will take away everything, one by one, one by one. And lastly, the life also. And no one will be able to do anything about it. Right? No one will be able to stop them. Therefore, Chandaveg. Right? Balina, they are very powerful. Okay, we go to next verse. Gandharvyastadrishiyasya Maitunascha Sitasati Sitasata Parivritya Vilumpanti Sarvakama Vinirmitam.
Along with Chandaveg, many female Gandharvis is they are soldiers. And all of them repeatedly plundered all the paraphernalia for sense enjoyment.
Okay. So, there were male Gandharvas and female Gandharvas. Equal number, 360. So, the male are referred to as day, female are referred to as night. Right? And everything has a logic behind it, you know. You see, the whole allegory is very scientific, very systematic. There are many analogy. So Prabhupada says how in the daytime man works very hard And the night is a time to enjoy sex. Therefore, female Gandharva is called as night. And then, methunyascha shita asita. Some of the Gandharvas were black and others were white. Again, it's a day and night kind of. Oh no, basically, day and night we already studied, the male and female. And other time, they were some Gandharvas were black and others were white. Signifies Krishna and Shukla Paksh, you know, of the time, like that. So they were all plundering away everything, sarva kama vinirmitam. Prabhupada says that how the scientists have made so many facilities, which is sarva kama vinirmitam, the facilities which are created for sense enjoyment. So these soldiers, one by one, they destroy all the facility. Right? So Prabhupada talks of so many facilities. He says, there are dishwashing machine, floor shaving machine, hair clipping machine. He said, so many facilities for sense enjoyment. But they all are being deteriorated. They are being destroyed by the effect of the time. Right? Like that. Te chandave ganuchara puranjan puram yada hartum are bhire tatra pratyashedat prajagrat.
When King Gandharva Raja Chandaveg and his followers began to plunder the city of Puranjan, a snake with five hoods began to defend the city.
Right. So actually, when the old age begins, then time starts a time after 50, one by one, all the facilities are being plundered, whatever he has gathered for sense enjoyment, you know. Then the plundering process begins. Said, but the snake stood and he spoke with great force, right? He defended. He said, do not loot the city while I am there, you know. So the pran, vayu, you know, I am still alive, like that. So, so Vishwanatha Thakur says, even after one reach 50, the strength doesn't decrease for few more years, you know. A person still holds on, you know, just like people say, some 60 saal ka buda ya 60 saal ka jawan, you know. He's still very, you know, some elderly people, they don't want to get the feeling that they have become old. We are still young, you know. We can still enjoy like that. You know? So there are so many capsules, tonics they take, you know, that they don't want to give up. You know, they don't want to fight against these soldiers. They want to fight. They don't want to allow them to plunder all the facilities for sense enjoyment, right? So therefore, they take so many measures, you know. They go around, they jog, they go to and play, you know, volleyball and various sports. You know, old people very cautious now, you know, that because they want to fight against Chandavega, that do not plunder, you know, we are still young, right? So like that.
Saptabhishatareko vimshatyachashatam samat puranjana puradhyaksho gandharvair yujudhe bali.
The five-hooded serpent, the superintendent and protector of the city of King Puranjana, fought with Gandharvas for 100 years. He fought alone with all of them, although they are numbered 720.
Right, so 360 and 360, men and women, together they are 720. Right, so actually the fight begins from the birth only, in one sense. You know, this everything, whatever he has, gradually deteriorates. So fight begins from the birth only. But up to the age of 50, he doesn't care, you know. He just defeats them. He says, I can do what I want. You know, up to the 50, he's on the winning side. Right? He's on the winning side. Although the fight is going on, but he doesn't care, you know. He's very strong. Like a Bollywood actor, you know. He can fight alone with many. He can throw them aside, you know. All these things. He's very strong. He doesn't care for any number of opponents. Right? But then he's being overpowered now after the age of 50. Right? Being overpowered now. Shiyamane swasambandhe ekasmin bahubhir yudha chintam param jagamartha sarashtra purabandhava.
Because he had to fight alone with so many soldiers, all of whom were great warriors, the serpent with five hooves became very weak. Seeing that his most intimate friend was weakening, King Puranjana and his friends and citizens living within the city all became very anxious.
Yeah. There used to be one professor, 55-year-old in our college, you know. He used to daily go to play table tennis, you know, very active. TT, he was a TT champion, you know. You know. But then suddenly after some time, you know, he's not seen in TT, you know what happened? No, his knee started aching. You know, he started become bewildered, you know, what has happened, you know, I want to go and play table tennis and I still want to go enjoy. But now he's being conquered by the soldier one by one. You know, start with the knee pain, you know. Can't understand, you know. He can't understand, you know. How come the knee pain, you know, like that. So it's all, you know, one by one faculty, you know, starts, he's being conquered and he's bewildered one by one he's bewildered. All that, whatever he used to do, intense enjoyment, you know, one by one the faculty falls down like that. So he becomes bewildered by that. Chintam param, and becomes very worried actually. He is unable to express his worry, but deep inside he becomes, you know, so many worries start coming. Right? Text 18. Saeva purayam madubhuk panchaleshu saparshadai upanitam balim grihnan strijito navidat bhayam.
King Puranjan collected taxes in the city known as Panchala and thus was able to engage in sexual indulgence. Being completely under the control of women, he could not understand that his life was passing away and that he was reaching the point of death.
Okay, so he just passed Madhu Bhuk. He just passed his whole time in insignificant pleasure. Now a fearful situation is approaching him. You know, the death is approaching him. Stri jaito na vidat bhayam. It's a very, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a very beautiful bhajan. There he says, Ramani jana sanga chukham cha sakhe charame bhayadam purusharthaharam. He said, Ramani jana sanga sukham cha sakhe. Said, the pleasure along with the women, charame bhayadam, very soon it will end in a very fearful situation. Right? So what happens? Everywhere it is portrayed, oh, man is enjoying women. But nowhere it is portrayed that how fearful situation, that is hidden. They very expertly hide the fearful situation by sending them to old age homes very far away. So the new person, he is unable to even see that actually how the old people are suffering now. The fear has totally overcome them. And they are very pity, you know, in a very pitiless situation. Very expertly, people hide everything that, you know, and they continue to want to blindly enjoy the other people, not see this, right? But he says that very soon fear will overcome, charame bhayadam, due to very, very fearful situation, purushartha haram, and by that time, the goal of the life will all be gone, you know. So the one has not achieved anything and simply only fearful situation, right? The same thing, stri jito na vidat bhayam, right? Like that. Text 19. Kalasya duhita kachit trilokim varamichati paryatanti navarhisman pratyanandata kashchanat.
My dear King Prachini Barishat, at this time the daughter of formidable time was seeking her husband throughout the three worlds. Although no one agreed to accept her, she came.
Now the entrance of old age, Kalasya Duhita, daughter of the Kal. You know, the daughter of the Kal came searching for husband. So again, it's described in a form of a story. It's very, very interesting story, right? So Prabhupada says, no one likes her, but she is very much anxious to accept anyone as her husband. Durbhagyenatmano loke Vishruta durbhageti sa Yatushtarajarishetu Vritadat puravevaram.
The daughter of time Jara was very unfortunate. Consequently, she was known as Durbhaga, ill-fated. However, she was once pleased with a great king, and because the king accepted her, she granted him a great benediction.
Okay, so now this is in the form of a story that how no one wanted old age, you know. Old age is as if old age is searching husband, but no one wants to accept the old age. I say in the beginning, everything is in a personified form, the fear personified, time personified, everything is a personified form. So when this old age personified, she said, I want a husband, you know, but no one wants to accept her. Imagine the everyone is born and everyone is young, and there is an old age, this lady, she wants to accept some husband, but she has been rejected by everyone. Right? So no one is willing to accept her. Therefore, she is described as Durbhaga. No one accepts her. Only once a king who, Puru, on the request of his father, accepted old age. Right? And she was very satisfied. So she granted him a benediction. Right? So this story is there in Bhagavatam. She granted him the benediction that you will enjoy the kingdom, you will become the king. Right? So Prabhupada says in the last four lines of the purport, although Puru attained his father's kingdom, he could not enjoy all the opulence, for he had sacrificed his youth. One should not wait for old age in order to become Krishna conscious. Due to the invalidity of old age, one cannot make progress in Krishna consciousness, however opulent he may be materially. Right? Kadachid Atamana sa Brahmalokan mahim gatam Vavre brihad vratam mam tu Janati kama mohita.
When I once came to the earth from Brahmalok, the highest planetary system, the daughter of time, wandering over the universe, meet me. Knowing me to be an avoided brahmachari, she became lusty and proposed that I accept her.
Okay, so consider this story to be like Kali Yuga entering and he wants a place. So it's like a very beginning when the old age is created, the beginning of creation. This is at that point Narada Muni is telling the story. The beginning of creation, then she has no husband, that means only accepting her. So then he said, I had come from Brahmaloka on this earth, and she, knowing me to be avowed brahmachari, avowed means who has taken a vow of brahmacharya throughout his life, right? So she became very lusty. You know? So there are many women who want brahmacharis as their husband. You know, so there are many such. So therefore, this lady also, in old age, she proposed Narad Muni only, accept me as your wife. Okay, then what does Narad Muni replied? Mai samrabhya vipula. मदाशापं सुदुस्सहं स्थातुं अर्हसि नैकत्र मदयाच्या विमुखो मुने.
The great sage Narada continued, when I refused to accept her request, she became very angry at me and cursed me severely. Because I refused her request, she said that I would not be able to stay in one place for a long time.
Okay, so looks like Narad Muni got this curse several times. Even Kalkanya Jara, she cursed Narad Muni. So angry with me for refusing, she cursed me, Narad Muni says. Actually, I do not have any prarabdha. I have no prarabdha karma in my body, and thus all the material curse and benediction has no. Narad Muni is a spiritual body. He is outside the jurisdiction of so-called curse and all that. But still, he accepted the curse as a benediction. You know, and Narad Muni anyway travels by his free will. You know, so now even if someone in the material world accuse sometimes Narad Muni keep traveling etc. What do? I have this curse, So he gets the excuse also to travel. Anyway, he wishes to travel. Therefore, he gets the excuse to travel. So Narad Muni, gratefully he accepted this curse. Like that.
Tato vihat sankalpat kanyaka yavaneshwaram मयोपदिष्टम आसाद्यात् ववरे नामना भयं पतिम्.
After she was thus disappointed by me, with my permission, she approached the king of the Yavanas, whose name was Baya or Fear, and she accepted him as her husband.
Okay, so Prabhupada says that Narad Muni is a perfect Vaishnava. He is always willing to do good to others, even to one who curses him. Right? Prabhupada glorify Narad Muni. So Kalkanya was refused by Narad Muni, but she was given shelter. Narad Muni arranged her to get married to Bhai. Fear personified. He was the king of the Yavanas. His name was Bhai. Right? So the fear personified. Narad Muni sent her, you get married to fear personified. So Prabhupada says, in one stroke, Narad Muni gave shelter to Kalkanya and counter-attacked the ordinary karmis. If one accepts the instruction of Narad Muni, the ocean of fear can be very quickly removed by the grace of that great Vaishnava. How did Narad Muni counterattack the ordinary karmis? Prabhupada said, in one stroke he did two things. He gave the shelter to Kalkanya and he counterattacked the ordinary karmis. How did he counterattack the ordinary karmis? Old age will check their enjoyment, okay.
They will have fear.
Will have fear. Yes, so basically, when the old age will go, the fear will go, husband and wife will go together. And then out of fear, the person will become fearful when the old age will come. Fear will also come and he will think, what I am doing, is it the right thing to do? I have been doing all this. So he will, out of fear, he will inquire into self-realization. When a person is very fearful, he inquires, many times, that how can I be out of this fearful situation? Someone will say, no, Abhay Krishna is Abhay Charana Arvindare. You have to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord and become fearless. So then counterattack the karmis. Who will otherwise Otherwise, the karmis, if they don't get old age and become fearful, they will go on enjoying life, actually suffering forever. Right? So therefore, Narad Muni counterattacked the karmis. So that they will become fearful and will think about it, rethink about all their fruitive activities. You know? Just like Narad Muni gave fear to Mrigari. You know, so fear can be used as an instrument to shake materialistic people from their sense gratification activity. That's how Narad Muni attacked the karmis. You got it? Rishabham yavananana, Rishabham yavananam tvam, vrine virepsitam patim, sankalpastvai bhutanam, kritakilnarishyati.
Approaching the king of Yavanas, Kalakanya addressed him as a great hero, saying, "My dear sir, you are the best of the untouchables. I am in love with you and I want you as my husband. I know that no one is baffled if he makes friends with you."
Okay, so she approaches Bhai, is Yavan, or the king of the Yavanas. And she proposes, no, this is happening as a personified form, you know, in the beginning, the Kalakanya personified, you know, the old age personified. She approaches Bhaya and she says, "Please marry me, I'm in love with you," right? And she says something very interesting. "I know no one is baffled if he makes friends with you." What does that mean? I know no one is baffled if he makes friend with you. Simple, actually, make friend with you means he's not now fearful. If the fear personified is a friend of somebody, that means no longer troubling somebody. Then he is not baffled. Then suppose you make friend with death, then death will not overcome you, then you become fearless. You got the similar lines. There is no anxiety, you know, death is sitting in the Bhagavatam class, he will not disturb anybody. That is related to that. So if someone is friend of the fear, that means fear is no longer bothering him. You know, make friendship. Someone is not bothered by fear. He is not baffled. Right? So the Kalakanya is glorifying that friendship. I want to do friendship with you. You know, kind of. That is the meaning. Okay, and people who are this is what Kalakanya said is like the ordinary thing, you know, if I make friend with you, not baffled. But actually Prabhupada says if a person is Krishna conscious, you know, that means he is now fearless, he is not being bothered by fear, you know, fear is his friend, kind of, you know, other way of saying fear is our friend, we are not worried about him. You know, kind of, you know. So that means the person is Krishna consciousness, is not bothered by fear. Then he can work like a young man, even if he is 75 or 80 years old, Prabhupada says in the second paragraph. And gives the example of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who in his 90s wrote this, Prabhupada says, presented this wonderful literature, Chaitanya Charitamrita, in his 90s. Right? And again, Prabhupada says, in the third paragraph, thus Jara, the effect of old age, doesn't harass a devotee. This is because devotee follows the instructions and determination of Narad Muni. Just like she could not harass Narad Muni, The old age cannot harass a devotee. Right? Prabhupada himself is an example. How in his very old age also he is traveling, preaching, lying on the bed, he is speaking. Prabhupada said the symptom of old age may come, but not the harassment of old age. You know? So the symptom of old age may appear in a devotee because Krishna wants the devotees to follow the way of the material world, you know, because everyone grows old and leaves this body. So Krishna, but actually the effect of old age doesn't come. You know, that the harassment of old age doesn't appear in a devotee. That is the important point Prabhupada here. Right? Thus, very beautiful line, last line of the purport. Thus, instead of depressing a devotee, advanced age help him become fearless and thus happy. Text 25. Dva ima vanu sochanti bala asad avagraho yalloka shastropanatam narati natad icchati.
One who does not give charity according to customs or in injunction of scriptures, and one who does not accept charity in that way are considered to be in mode of ignorance. Such persons follow the path of the foolish. Surely they must lament at the end.
Okay, so now Kalkanya Jara is telling Bhai that is a duty of a person to accept and give charity. So if I am asking you to become a husband, it's a duty to become a husband and accept me as your wife. Right? So that she is instructing him that you please marry me. That is the point of this verse. Atho bhajasva mam bhadra bhajantim me dayam kuru etavan paurusho dharma yad artan anukampate.
Kal Kanya continued, O gentle one, I am now present before you to save you. Please accept me and thus show me mercy. It is a gentleman's greatest duty to be compassionate upon a person who is distressed.
Okay. So Sri Sri is saying it is actually a dharma of a man to show compassion to a suffering woman. So on that ground, she is saying that even if you are not willing, but you should marry me. Telling the bhai. Right? This is 26th, right? 27. Kalkanyo ditavacho Dishamya yavaneshvara Chikir shurudeva goyamsa sasmitam tam abhashata.
Statement of Kalkanya, daughter of time. The king of the Yavanas began to smile and devise a means for executing his confidential duty on behalf of Providence. He then addressed Kalkanya as follows.
Okay, so now, remember, this is the time of creation. There is no old person. And old age, she's searching a husband and she comes to Bhai on the instruction of Narad Muni, right? And hearing all these things, she pleads, tells her many reasons. Hearing this, the king of Yavans began to smile. By smiling, he indicated he could not refuse her words because he understood that is the will of the providence to put the wheel of samsara into motion. You know, janma mrityu jara vyadhi. You know, she plays an important role in that cycle. So he understood that I have to accept her in order to put the wheel of samsara into motion. This is the will of the providence. Like that. So Prabhupada says, in the fourth or fifth line, although Kalkanya means invalidity or old age, Yavan Raj wanted to serve Krishna by introducing Kalkanya everywhere. Thus, a sane person by attaining old age will become fearful of death. You know, he will give up his insanity. He will think about some higher goal of life. So he devises a plan to put her into Krishna service or devise a will of providence. Right? Maya nirupitastubhyam patiratma samadhina nabhinandati lokoyam tam abhadrama sammatam.
The king of the Yavans replied, after much consideration, I have arrived at a husband for you. Actually, as far as everyone is concerned, you are inauspicious and mischievous. Since no one like you, how can anyone accept you as you his wife?
So he says, okay, I have decided on a husband for you. So Bhai also doesn't accept her as such as her his wife. Okay, wait, I have decided a husband for you, you know. And he says, people on earth planet, right, they do not accept you, they consider you to be very inauspicious and unacceptable, right? They don't welcome you. He just says that means we know the higher planetary system doesn't have old age. They simply leave the higher planetary while they're enjoying only, right? So therefore say the planet, people on earth planet or earthly planets, 29. Tvam avyakta gatir bhungshva lokam karma vinirmitam yahi me pratana yukta prajanasham pranishyasi.
World is a product of fruitive activities. Therefore, you may imperceptibly attack people in general. Help them, my soldiers. You can kill them without opposition.
Okay, so what does he say? You, all those people on earth planet who perform fruitive activities, let they all be your husband. How? He said, you just attack them imperceptibly. In a very subtle way, you enter their life. But now she may say, but they will drive me away. They will not accept me. He said, no, wait. My soldiers will be there, bhai, you know. So the fear, by fear, their power and strength will be broken. So they won't be able to counteract you. They won't be able to overcome you. My soldiers will be there. You know, when a fear is there, a person loses all his strength. You know, with the fear, a person loses actually his strength. So therefore he says, I will help you. You know, they will not be able to. So therefore he asked them to go to marry everyone performing fruitive activity on earthly planet. You go and imperceptibly, in a very subtle way, go and embrace them, you know, and they will not be able to attack you back. Right? And then he thinks, therefore, this whole world, right? In this way, you attack the people and by force, you enjoy with them. They will be your husband. And then after enjoying, you destroy them. And I will help you. Right? So this is how Jara accepts every person who is involved in enjoying this world as her husband. Right? And then she ultimately destroys them like that. So thus, Prabhupada says, thus the king of the Yavanas in the middle of 28 itself. Thus the king of Yavanas tried to utilize her for some purpose. The purpose has already been explained. That is, Kalkanya or Jara, the invalidity of old age, can be used to arouse a sense of fear in people. so that they will prepare for the next life by engaging in Krishna consciousness. Okay? The last verse. Prajvaro yam mama bhrata tam cha me bhagini bhava charam me ubhavayam lokesmin avyakto bhima sainika.
The king of the Yavanas continued, here is my brother Prajvar. I now accept you as my sister. I shall employ both of you as well as my dangerous soldiers to accept imperceptibly within this world.
Okay, imperceptibly means people will not be able to notice, you know, how you came in their life, you know, very in a very slow, subtle way you enter the life. So he says, I accept you as my sister. It's quite interesting, you know. This bhaya doesn't say I accept you as my wife, he says, I accept you as my sister, and here is my brother, Prajvara, Prajvar, right? Prajvar is refers to Vishnu Jvara, so it includes the destructive nature of the Shiva, right? This is Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. So there is a destructive nature also. He says, you become my sister, right? But she says, but Narada words should not become false, you know. Narada told, I should become your wife. So please become my husband, Kalkanya says. So Bhaya says, that will also be true. You will be my sister and you will be my wife also. Because I am born in the family of a dharma. Therefore, I'll accept both these roles. Right? Therefore, Narada's word will not be true. So then Bhaya tells him something very interesting. That if I go near the devotees of the Lord, you know, Bhaya, then having enjoyed me exceedingly, you destroy me. So he says, now you, how will I be your husband? Because when you will go, I will also appear in every human being. You will attack and fear will I'll appear. And you are enjoying them, that means you are enjoying me also because I am appearing within them. You got the point? So Bhaya will appear and she will enjoy every fruity worker and she will enjoy Bhaya also. So therefore I will be her husband also, he says. So I accept you as my sister, but in another way you will enjoy with me. But he says, but if you see me appearing in the life of devotees, then you destroy me, Bhaya says. That means I cannot appear over there. I have no jurisdiction. Right? And just as you did not make Narada your husband, do not make the devotees of the Lord your husband. Therefore, I tell you, enjoy invisibly the people made of karma. Since the devotees are not made of karma, they do not become your husband. I am your husband among all the people, he says. So they are all the fruity workers and I am your husband. Right? In this way, Kalkanya, she got married also to Bhaya, right? Who appears when the old age appears, right? But and the Vaishnavas, the devotees are outside of her jurisdiction. Okay, so a big, you know, allegorical chapter. And Narada Muni has such an intelligence, you know. He has composed such a big allegory, you know, just on the spot. Right? And the mind reels to connect, you know. The mind reels to understand this allegory. Right? But still, we must tax our mind, you know. Because that will help us to understand and become free from the fact of old age. Right? Jai Granthara Srimad Bhagadam ki jai, Srila Narad Muni ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande.